Hello, I'm Malcolm Cox, and this is a Tuesday Teaching Tip. And today we're talking about how to interpret a passage so we can get out of it what is in there and then apply it most effectively to the people to whom we are speaking in some context. So, how do we do that? And I've got some ideas for you today from a book I read a while ago called Preaching with Humanity by Wright and Stevenson, and five areas of interpretation to think about in preparing a lesson. Oh, and by the way, if you've already subscribed to these recordings, thank you so much. If you haven't, please do so, and then let your friends know, anybody who might find these useful in preparing a lesson so they can teach and preach effectively. So, how to interpret a passage. It's so important that the Bible remains at the center of everything, by the way, just as we begin here. As Martin Luther said, the Bible exists for preaching, not preaching for the Bible. So it's our job to try and make sure the Bible stays central, and part of that is interpreting well. So five areas of interpretation. The first is interpreting the good news. Interpreting the good news, in other words, for the needs of the local congregation. The good news must remain central to all that we preach and teach. Even Old Testament, there is good news in there because we see the shadow of the Old Testament brought into reality in the new. So the message of Jesus is positive. I know there are challenges there and there are hard things to be said, but ultimately it's good news. So first thought is to make sure that as we look into the scripture that we're going to be preaching on, that we're looking for the good news in that passage. What is the good news? There may be challenges, but what is the good news? As the authors say in their book on page 61, you have a little quote here. We may be sure of this, preaching which over time leaves hearers feeling demoralized, infantilized, or oppressed has, indeed, lost the plot. Preaching which warms hearts and fans faith and hope into flame, whatever its inadequacies may be, is managing to hold on to it. Preaching is good news. Congregations should be inspired and encouraged by the way that we interpret the Bible. So the first thing to look for is, where is the good news in this passage? Let me interpret that well. Secondly, interpreting the scripture. Now, again, books have been written on this, and I'm not going to go into it in this great detail right now. That'll have to be for another recording. But the basic premise behind interpreting the scripture well is, first of all, to ask, what did it mean, before we ask, what does it mean? What did it mean to the original hearers before we ask, what does it mean now for me and the people to whom I will be speaking? And that requires tools, because none of us lived 2,000 years ago or longer in terms of the Old Testament. And so it's hard for us to understand the culture, the history, the sociology, the connections, the particular things that make a passage meaningful and real when it was written, as opposed to what we would understand from it now. So tools. So my question is, what tools are you using to understand what it meant so that you can then teach what it means now? Do you have a good Bible dictionary? Not one from the 19th century or the 18th century. Those people were wonderful, but scholarship and learning and archaeology and all kinds of things have moved on. So a good modern or relatively modern Bible dictionary, commentaries, background books about the Bible, we need some of those. Get recommendations from people if you don't have some already. There are lots out there. Some of them are fantastic and some of them, frankly, are pretty rubbish. And there's a lot in between and we all have our preferences. But find out and get some good tools so that you can know what it meant before you then interpret what it means now. So secondly, interpreting the scripture. Thirdly, interpreting the world. Now, this is an interesting thought that came out of the book for me. Interpreting the world. In other words, what might the passage we're looking at have to say about modern events, about things going on now in politics? Do we know what's going on in the news? Some of us love the news and to be in touch. Some of us, frankly, hide away from it. I'm not sure that's very helpful. Jesus knew what was going on. In Luke 13, he knew about the tower. He knew about what Pilate had done. So he had his ear to the ground about local and international matters, you could say. So do we know what's going on? Reading a newspaper. I know today most people don't read, well, people don't read newspapers in the way they used to. I've got my copy here of the local Watford Free newspaper. That's not the only place I get my news from, but I read the local newspaper because it helps me to understand what's going on locally, as well as keeping up with things internationally. If you don't read newspapers, well, use your trackpad, use your mouse, click online and find what's going on in the world. And then ask yourself, what does this passage have to say about what's going on in the world around us? It'd be very helpful to do that. Next area of interpretation, interpreting the congregation. If we need to have a connection with the congregation if we're going to know how to apply what we're studying and reading to the people sitting there in front of us the next time we get a chance to preach and teach. It occurs to me that as I preached on Luke 15 last week, that it was an interesting balance between trying to work out how much time to spend on the younger son of the parable of the two sons and the father in Luke 15, how much time to spend on the younger son and how much time to spend on the older son, given the congregation. And I think I spent more time on the younger son than the older. And on reflection, I think I might have done better to spend longer on the older son, because most of the people in the room there were more mature Christians. It doesn't mean they're all like the older son. I'm not passing a judgment about that. But I think that might have been a more appropriate balance than the balance I did last Sunday. So have a look at that. Think about the congregation. Think about who you're going to be speaking to. What are their needs? What's going on? And that will help use the scripture in a good way. Then finally, we need to interpret ourselves. Interpreting ourselves. In other words, being self-aware of our own prejudices and our own preferences as best we can. Here's a thought. What is there in you that may help the communication of the particular passage you're speaking on, and what is there in you that may hinder it? How do we even work that out? Well, one way that's suggested in the book is to ask yourself, what is it in this passage that I'm preaching on that I'm attracted to, and what am I repelled by, or what do I not want to deal with? What do I not want to embrace and investigate? Because the truth is, there are passages, the parts of passages that we really like, and we want to preach on those, we want to teach on those. They connect with us naturally. That could be good, but it could also be not so helpful, because it might mean that we're neglecting other parts of a passage that we don't like, we find confusing, we find too difficult to understand, but they may be the very parts that the congregation will benefit from, even if we find it difficult. So what are we attracted to and what are we not attracted to? Maybe it's a good idea to look at those passages, those parts of a passage, even more carefully, because it may be that we realize, that's something this group needs to hear more about. So interpreting ourselves. So just to finish off, a quote from page 67 of the book, as we think about how to interpret a passage in these five areas of interpretation, let me offer you this from page 67. They say this: I often think of the act of interpretation as a dynamic yet subterranean business in which, like a go-between, involved in negotiations between different parties, we shuttle back and forth between gospel, text, world, congregation, and self. Much of this goes on invisibly and inaudibly. We shuttle back and forth. We are go-betweens between the Word of God and those to whom we will be speaking. This is where the power is. This is where the strength is. This is where the truth is. This is what brings life. This is the good news right here. But we need to interpret it and do our best to interpret it well so that others will see its relevance and its power for themselves. The good news, interpreting the good news, the scripture, the world, the congregation, and ourselves. So what do you think about these ideas? I'd love to know your thoughts. You can email me, mccx@mac.com, or you can leave a message anywhere you hear or see this recording. And please hit that subscribe button. If you haven't already done it, click right there. Until the next time, I hope you have a terrific Tuesday and a wonderful week. God bless.